the end of the faction. We've prayed for that, and we're thanking the Lord for the end of it. He's given us signs of it now. So I'll share one with you that's just amazing. This one is from Eve Brast. She had it on the 20th. And it's all about, yes, the end of the faction. I had a dream that I was floating in the spirit in a white classroom with two small groups of school desks with a narrow aisle down the center. And Deb put some notes in here, too, before I got it. She said, for narrow is the gate, straight the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. That's so true. Many are called, but few are chosen, aren't they? She said, there was a line of children standing against one wall. So there's these two rows of desks, but the children are all standing up against the wall. Why are the students standing up against the wall? Amos 7:7 says, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood beside a wall made by a plumb line, and a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. So these children were being held to a standard of uprightness. That's what a plumb line proves, right? And it's represented by a wall made with the standard of a plumb line. And we believe that represents the Word. It's our standard. It's our plumb line. It's telling us what is uprightness and what is not, right? And like Israel in this text, they have gone into rebellion against their leadership, but God was not holding them, was now holding them to the Word to repent, or judgment comes. You know, when he said, I will not again pass by them anymore, he had already relented in judging Israel twice at Amos's request. But now he's saying, nope, I'm going to put the plumb line up. I'm going to judge them with the Word. And I'm not going to pass by them with judgment anymore. So he's going to say, he's saying he's going to delay no more. Right? The children standing against a wall. They're not in their desks, so to speak. Right? And of course, they haven't been studying the Word. They've been doing everything else but. She went on to say the children were watching a young boy, representing the man child, who was seated at a desk closest to the narrow aisle midway down the empty desks. So there's two rows of empty desks, and the man child's right there in the middle. And the children who are being held to the discipleship standard of the Word, being taught by the man-child in their midst, are expected to repent and fill the empty desks around him. Obviously, the man-child here represents maturity in the kingdom, just as Jesus said in Matthew 18:2. He said, and he called to him a little child and set him in the midst of them. And said, verily, I say unto you, except you turn and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who is it that enters the kingdom of heaven? The little children. They submit to their father, they trust in their father, etc., etc. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine? I don't think much of the church actually agrees with this in practice. It's true. Humility, trust in God, ceasing from our own works, attributes of little children are really great when you type them up against his New Testament saints, right? The greatest in the kingdom of heaven is he that humbles himself as this little child. So, This little child represents maturity. Those that were standing up against the wall were children who were going to be judged by the Word of God as to whether they were walking uprightly. They weren't in their desks to learn. They weren't around the man-child to learn. They weren't as disciples to learn. And now God is going to do something about this. So he said, he goes on in verse 5 to say, "Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Oh boy. You know, we've been talking about the coming of the Lord. I want to share a revelation with you by Bill Steenland about the Lord coming face to face with the people of the earth. It's going to happen, saints. Because whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. He's coming to bring an end to the faction too. It is a visitation, as Isaiah 29 says, against the Sennacherib scenario. A visitation of the Lord. He went on to say the boy had a piece of notebook paper that had been numbered from 1 to 20. The paper was turned over, and the boy was on the last question, which was number 20. And, of course, number 20 represents the end of his test or trial. And it's the end of his test or trial at the hands of the dragon's children, who in rebellion have sought to devour him. It's going to be the end of it, saints. We're very, very close. Great things are happening. We see open doors coming towards us very fast. Great promises of provision, deliverance, blessing, and deliverance to the elect among the factions who are the ones being judged here, as Israel, which rebelled against Judah and against the bride. So the text that we read about Amos is very, very pertinent to what we're talking about here. It was a judgment of Israel. Eve goes on to say, in the Hebrew system of numerology, 20 is represented by the letter K-A-P-H, roughly our ke or ch, k or ch, you know. The letter K-A-P-H represents a crown. According to the wisdom of the Hebrew alphabet by Rabbi Monk, it represents a crown, number 20. How pertinent is that? The other day I received the verse where the king gave to Mordecai the ring that he had just taken off of Haman, who had just been hung on his own gallows, kind of like Judas, you know. He'd been hung. The authority was given to Mordecai. And that's what this crown represents, okay? She said it's also true from usage that 20 is generally a number of completion and sufficiency. 20 is the age at which a man is eligible for military service, Numbers 1 and 3. So basically, that means they can go to war. And, we've been doing that. We've been doing a lot of warfare. And the man-child arriving at 20, the crown, represents his caught-up-to-the-throne authority given to the man-child after overcoming the dragon. Right? Revelation 12 and 4. And his tail, that is the tail of the dragon, draweth a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Did you see that? The dragon, before the tribulation, causes a great falling away. It says so right here. The tale is the prophet that speaketh lies, Isaiah declares. The Lord through Isaiah declared. The tale draweth a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And of course, that all comes before the tribulation. As verse 6 tells us, that's when the woman goes into the wilderness for 3.5 years. And She was delivered of a son, a male child, or a man child, who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And there's the crown experience right there. How neat. You know, people can't think these things up in their sleep, do you think? So, right next to the last question on the test, which was number 20, the young boy had drawn a top view of the last and smallest battleship from the Battleship Game. How many of y'all know about the Battleship Game? I remember it from many years ago. It's been around a long time. And two fleets are facing one another, basically, and you get to shoot at the other guy's fleet, okay? And so this was the last and the smallest battleship from the Battleship Game. And he drew a circle or a target in the center of it, as the young boy did. So it was this was the enemy's last battleship. Praise God. So, you know, when you get a dream, most of the time, it's future. So we see that the part of this that is future is what's being depicted here as the sinking of this last battleship. And Eve said, I could see a transparent royal blue battleship coordinates grid, which is what it is. As I remember, it must not have changed because that's the way I remember it too. Coordinates grid in the spirit hovering over the group of desks that the boy was sitting in the midst of, right? So these desks that were supposed to be filled by those children who were standing up against the wall, depicting them now being about to be judged by the Word, those desks had this coordinates grid over them. Well, that's very strange. I mean, the man-child has the grid, and the grid is over them. The transparent battleship grid was hovering over the desk because it's the spirits that have deceived these children who are the target. They're the target. These spirits, Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, saints, we've had so many dreams since 2011 of the brethren coming back and being so joyful to be free and happy and joining in the study of the Word and joining in the sharing of the Word and joining in the battle and in the harvest. We've had so many dreams about this. It's not the people. The people have been taken advantage of by unscrupulous leaders and these demon spirits. So this is what we fight against. And I'm telling you, we're coming to the end of it. And as the scripture says, we win. Oh, praise be to God. At the same time, a crucifixion is happening that is good, good for God's people. It's brought forth much fruit in God's people. It's going to bring forth much fruit in the factious too, because of humbling, a humbling that they're going to receive of once they get their right mind of knowing where they've been and where they should have been. Yeah. The boy and I had worked together to answer all the test questions, which were mostly mathematical questions. Well, I believe math here represents exactness and truth. True math, of course, you really can't fool it. It's just right or wrong, right? And thinking about math, Deb put this verse in Psalm 119 and 160. The sum of thy word is truth. In other words, added up. The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever. Amen. And these are what we're going to be judged by, the word of the Lord. So you can see that a people who have been ignoring the word of the Lord because of demon spirits and being turned over to the tormentors are once again going to be judged by this, but God is going to have mercy. Because these demons that have been taking them are going down. We had gotten them all right. All of the questions right. 100%, right? And now we were working together to answer the last question. And of course, Eve and all of our prophetically gifted people have worked with us and given us understanding and direction and adding it to scriptures that we receive and so on and so forth. We can see that it's all adding up to exactly what God is saying to us. So we're working together to do this. And when I saw the battleship the boy had drawn next to the number 20, which was the last question on the paper, right? I went to ask the father at the head of the classroom. Aha! Praise the Lord. What the coordinates were to sink this battleship. And he told me B4 and D2. And when I called out to the boy B4, I heard a voice behind me say, "Hit." Then I called out D2, and again I heard, "Hit." That's a hit because it happened to be on their coordinates of this battleship, if you've ever seen the battleship game. And this obviously is saying that the enemy's last ship was sunk. Praise be to God in this revelation. The boy then wrote the coordinates inside the circle that he had drawn on the battleship. Then the test was finished. We had gotten 100%. And Eve says, it's very exciting to know that we are at the last question of the test. And Deb says, B, looking at the coordinates, she says, B is the Hebrew letter Bet, and it stands for house or division. House, division. A house divided, right? And D is the Hebrew letter, Dalet, and it stands for door. And she says, the factious have caused division in the house. But what about this door? Aha! This is what came to me when I thought about this door. In a previous dream, the UBM house was divided by a wall, with the factious on the left and the righteous on the right. In that dream, we saw that they had no open door for the factious to cross to the side of the righteous. And of course, that's because God had turned them over to this and they just weren't going to be delivered. Right? Well, now we see the door representing restoration, deliverance from captivity, return to the land of promise. And we know that Christ is the door out of the sheepfold, and that he calls all of his own by name out of the sheepfold to follow him, right? Oh, glory be to God. And following him is always going to be to the right, because that's where he puts the sheep. Okay, on the left are the goats, the stubborn and the rebellious. So, wow, how accurate this dream is. This is at the time of the enemy's last battleship sinking, which always comes before a surrender. You know, you lost the war when you lost your last battleship, you know. So I'm going to briefly share with you this this dream I was talking about the house divided and how that God made a way for people to leave the left side. He is making a way for some. For some, the righteous, the elect, as I call them, right? As the Bible calls them. And we called it separating the factious from the righteous. It was given to Belinda Anderson on October of 2011, way back shortly after the faction began. She said, at 4:30 this morning, I had a vision. It was dark, but in the darkness I saw a house. And the house was shining very brightly on the right side. It appeared to be glowing. I saw people gathered in a circle. They were very tall. They seemed at peace. They were praying and singing praises to the Lord. And the interpretation that I gave back then was, this is the UBM house. And on a larger type, the house of God. They were on the right side because they were sheep, which Jesus put on the right. And that side was shining brightly because the glory of God is there. They were tall because they were big and mature in the ways of the Lord. Okay? But then Belinda went on to describe the left side. She said, on the left side of the house, it was very dark, and smoke was coming out of the walls. The people looked like dwarves. They were angry and agitated. They kept pacing back and forth. And the left is, of course, those who act as goats, which Jesus put on his left. It was very dark because they're walking in darkness. They don't have the word or respect the word anymore. And smoke is coming out of the walls because the judgment of God is upon it. And they were dwarves because they have been stunted in their growth and are small and immature in the ways of the Lord. They are angry and agitated because they are full of faction and anger and slander and wrath, etc. And they are pacing back and forth because they are nervous and stirred up by these spirits. They really want to get at the people on the right side, but as you'll find out, they really couldn't get at the people who were living on the right side. She said, there was a door that separated the two sides of the house. But it really wasn't a door because there were no handles on either side of this door. It couldn't be opened. So God has made a separation between the righteous and the factious. They may not get at the truly righteous who obey His word to separate from them. And we may not minister to them, for God has given them over to captivity for the moment. Okay? And we've prayed against that, and we believe our prayers are answered. And they're answered now. Okay? And she goes on to say, the people on the left were angry because they could not figure out how to get this door open to get to the other side. So the goats have been bitter and angry trying to get at the righteous with their slander. They wanted to stop those people from singing and praising the Lord, she said. Well, the demons hate peace, and they hate the righteous, and they hate the mature, and they hate the praise among the righteous and the mature. So they'll do what they can to stop that. And prayer, of course, they do whatever they can to stop prayer. I remember Sandy having a dream about praying, and the demons were hollering and screaming. And said, "Who's doing that? Who's doing that? Find her, find her! Let's stop this! This, you know, on and on." They were all upset because of the prayers, you know. And it's true; they are. They're really upset because of our prayers of faith that are biblically oriented, and they hate the truth. They hate it getting out. They'll do anything to stop what we're doing, and they have, but they failed. Okay? Oh, praise be to God. And now here's something else. There was a crack about three-quarters of the way down through the center of the house. It looked like that at any time the house would split apart. Well, that's certainly true. And what I see here is that this is the spiritual earthquake that we've seen that is separating those who walk in sin from the refuge and the bride. The separation will soon be physical, I said at that time, and those who do not repent will leave our house as a purified house. And that is certainly true. They have left our house as a purified house. The Lord said to me, as I meditated on this, that his foot is pushing down on the left side of the house. It looks like possibly there is a quarter of the way left to go, but as the weight of their sin becomes greater, they will break off. Father has been showing us for several years through dreams, visions, and prophecy that an army of demons would make war with UBM and myself in an attempt to destroy our influence on earth. But at the same time, we were shown that we would become greater in holiness, power, and ministry. And you can actually go to the David Wilkerson page there on the front of our site and read some of those, and you'll see exactly what I'm saying here. And many of those were before time, before the faction came to pass. So he went on to say, I noticed that the right side of the house, I noticed that the right side of the house was firmly on the foundation, whereas the left side of the house had no ground under it. Well, that's because the foundation is the Word of God, acting on the Word of God. Remember Jesus in his parable about those that build their house on the sand and those that build their house on the rock, because they hear these words of mine and do them? So the foundation comes when we hear the Word of God and do it. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? But that's really blocked from their mind until they're delivered of these spirits. And when that happens, everything's going to turn around. So there was no ground under the left side where the stunted people were. And I thought to myself, if that house splits all the way, the left side is going to fall and there's nothing to catch it. Well, the fact is, I said at that time, they're not founded on the rock of God's Word, but on the sand of the abyss. And Jesus said concerning the fall of that house, great was the fall thereof. Matthew 7:24-27. Great was the fall thereof. In other words, this is something that's not going to come back. Are some people going to be saved from it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Unforgiveness has taken away grace from them. And we were told by the factious leaders in emails in front of the assembly that they would leave peaceably, but they lied. And they didn't leave, and they didn't leave peaceably either. And everything that the factious people have done have lied, you know. Because they had their eye on carving up UBM for themselves from the cover of darkness, God also had his plan to separate those who could give in to these lusts, and so he has. And we praise God for that. And we pray constantly for our brethren that they would come to repentance, and we know that the majority will. Yes, we do. And all that I still stand by. Praise God. But for those who don't surrender to God now, there is the breaking off that we saw above in that dream. And the high cost of that is a revelation that was just given to Deborah Horton. There's a high cost for those that don't quickly repent. God's offering that now. He's going to be offering that for the short future here. And he's calling the people out. Come out from among them. Be separate. Praise be to God. So this is Deb Horton's revelation, the high cost of faction. She said, I think this is a final warning to the factious to repent quickly. In a dream, I was in my car on Blackstock Road. It's a main thoroughfare that runs by Westgate Mall. And possibly that word Blackstock Road and the mall, possibly it's a sign of those beasts walking on the dark side of Babylon and its merchandising leadership. Absolutely. You know, we preached about these things for years. And then it happened to some of the very people that were in total agreement with us about it. It happened to them. So she went on to say that this Blackstock Road thoroughfare that runs by Westgate Mall, she says it's close to the intersection of Highway 29. While waiting for the light to turn, a man with white hair, whom I knew in the dream, came up to me at the car window. In the dream, I had a very fleeting thought that this was Daniel, who in real life has white hair. Daniel professes to be Christian, but is living a life of sexual deviancy. Well, my thoughts were, besides being a deviant from that which is natural for a Christian, like the factious, Daniel identifies those in captivity, like the tribe of Dan, which is one of the 12 patriarchs that fell away, just like Judas. And, you know, the tribe of Dan fell away, just like that. So, Deb went on to say, the reason he came to my car was to warn me that the toll had been raised from a nickel or a dime, that she put in parentheses there, to $1 at the toll booths for anyone making the left turn. There's that left turn again. Onto Highway 29, which is the main street in Spartanburg. In real life, there are no toll booths there. And my thoughts are that so clearly this is spiritual. Turning left with the goats onto the broad road is getting much more costly. It was raised up quite a bit, all the way up to a dollar. Possibly 100% of one's life and future. In other words, it didn't cost as much to take the wrong turn back when, but now it's been changed. It now costs a lot more. Spartans, you know, the main street in Spartanburg, Spartans were a warring Grecian people who were ultimately conquered by the Roman Empire. And we've already been told that this warring faction is going to be conquered by the beast system, which is what? The revived Roman Empire. Yes. Some people say there is no revived Roman Empire. For goodness sake, look at Daniel's revelation of the image of the beast. How that from the Roman Empire, the thighs, all the way down to the feet, there was the iron of the Roman Empire. And at the feet, there was the iron and the clay. That is the original, the seed of the original Roman Empire mixed with the clay, which were not a part of the original Roman Empire, in the 10 toes, which are the 10 end-time kingdoms. So how can you say? Some people do say that. They still say that. There's no revived Roman Empire. These are people that only look at one type and shadow, and they think all the rest can't be right, you know, because they don't understand. They all fit together very beautifully. So, yes, the world is now being raised up to what? Burn the harlot with fire, ultimately. Everybody that's in it. And Deb said, I'm positive that the $1 toll means 100%. Could this be saying that we're not talking about chump change, but all or nothing? Well, yeah, I think it's going to cost some people everything to not repent now. I mean everything. Or maybe it could be saying that time for change is 100% up, and now judgment and or reprobation is here. Yeah, I think both are true. It's not or, but both. I asked for a word after telling the father that I thought the dream meant that the ante had just been raised for the factious, and my finger came down on the footnote for Malachi 4 and 6, which reads, devoting to destruction. Well, okay, that pretty well confirms that, right? Devoting to destruction. Those that continue on and don't repent will be devoted to destruction. Toll could be a wordplay on the words death toll. Back to Malachi 4:6, she says, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So this was her confirmation. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. In other words, judgment to those that don't repent. Same thing we've been saying all the way through here. You know, these brethren once considered themselves my spiritual children. Many of them told me so. But because of their sins, factious spirits came in. We are being told by the Lord that the hearts of the elect among the children will turn back to me. What did the verse say? He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. In other words, those that don't repent are going to be judged. Wow, how accurate can you get? You know, that verse was dead on. You know, God is just so good. He gives us these awesome, awesome warnings and tells us what to pray about. You know, we come together every morning, brethren in different places or some just in their homes, you know, and we pray and we ask the Lord for verses. He gives us verses and they give us direction in our prayers. And the Lord gives us dreams and visions and gives us directions. The Lord has really done this thing from the beginning. He has really handled everything. And I'm just very happy. I'm very happy to be at the end of it, but at the same time, I'm very happy to be at the beginning of this revival that's going to be started with the people who overcame. The sanctified people, the people that on the right, the tall and the shining and the glorious and the happy and the ones praising God, He's about to start a wonderful revival. We keep getting the signs of it. Dreams are starting to dovetail into one another, connected to one another. It's just amazing what the Lord is doing. We're very happy with what the Lord's doing. I thought in the dream that it was very considerate and friendly of him to personally come over and warn me, but I wasn't concerned about the increase in the toll. And, you know, the factious come on like they're trying to be helpful, but they turn people to the left and to destruction. I told him something like, yes, I can see the two barrels over there on 29 past the intersection, but I wasn't planning on turning left there. Okay, praise God for that. Somehow, in the dream, there were two things that looked like those plastic barrels filled with sand that the highway department uses to close off roads or mark obstructions and danger. You know, a warning sign that the seed of Abraham, being, as the scripture says, as the sands of the seashore, are in unnatural captivity. What's unnatural captivity? A plastic barrel. Unnatural captivity. Demonic captivity. And so these seed of Abraham is captured. It's a warning. Don't turn left. They're in captivity. Look at them. Look what it's done to them. Look what it's done to their family. Look what it's done to their children. It's a warning. Don't turn left. It will cost you 100% more now than it did yesterday. That's what the Lord is saying so very clearly to me. And somehow the barrels were serving as warnings of the toll booths up ahead. Yeah, their unnatural captivity of these souls should be a warning to everyone not to be turned over to the tormentors, as Jesus said. It's amazing to me that some people can't see people that are turned over to the tormentors, and they sit there and listen to them until that word goes into them and they've been imparted those demons. It's amazing. Well, why didn't you catch it? Where's your discernment? But you see, the Lord don't give discernment to people if they've been walking in their sins, walking after their idols, stubborn, lifted up in pride or whatever. He just blinds them to it, and they're gone. It's just what Jesus said. This is not just what I'm teaching. Jesus taught this. He said the Father would turn you over to the tormentors. And it's happened. And we just saw from the Scripture that there is a great falling away that happens right here before the tribulation starts. Great falling away. And, of course, these barrels were to warn the motorists who turned left and to the ways of the goat, right? And the high cost of this captivity is terrible. And so are the, what came to me as troll booths. You know, not a toll booth, but a troll booth along the way. Wikipedia, in internet slang, says, quote, a troll is a person who sows discord or faction, same thing, on the internet. Wow, isn't that something? A troll. Now, where is a troll that is a toll booth? Well, as Deb pointed out in the story Three Billy Goats Gruff, some of y'all know that one, the troll would devour anyone who crossed over his bridge. And it was their cost or toll to cross there. And the biggest billy goat, which was the last, kicked the troll off the bridge, and he never returned. And so, what I'm saying is the man-child here is about to kick the troll off the bridge. And that's going to be the end of the toll, right? That is for all those that repent. Praise be to God. God's merciful and gracious, saints, and He loves you. He wants you to follow Him. He wants you to follow His Word. He wrote that as our standard. It's our plumb bob, so to speak. It's what tells us what's straight up and down, you know. And we need to humbly submit to His Word, or we'll be taken into captivity. His Word will guide us through the tribulation times ahead. This test that God has put the first fruits, the bride through, the church is about to go through. The whole church is about to go through it. See, God deals with people according to their age, their growth, their maturity. Right now, He's dealing with the foundation of the church, which is, of course, Christ in the man-child, Christ in the bride, Christ in the two witnesses, you know, Christ in the foundation of the church that's being laid right now. And He's dealing with them right now. He's bringing them to maturity so that they can bring another people to maturity and so they can have the experience of this hatred and criticism and faction that's going to be all the way through the tribulation period. It's just that it's not going to be a trial for the people who have already overcome it. It's going to be a trial for the people who need it in the tribulation period. Because God is still going to be separating the wheat from the chaff. He's still going to be separating the tares from the wheat. He's still going to be separating, you know, the sheep from the goats. He's still going to be separating. He's chosen this method to do this. And He's still going to use it. I'm just saying it's coming to an end for the bride, and it's coming to an end for the man-child. Not that they won't be seeing it. They will just have overcome it, and it won't be a problem for them. It's kind of like Moses when Moses went out into the wilderness, and he grew up out there. And then God sent him back to bring Israel out of Egypt to go through the same wilderness. Who was being tested that second time? It wasn't Moses. It was them. Moses' test was that they were bad students. They persecuted him. That was his test. Their test was that they were failing the test. You know, he'd already been through the test for himself, but they were now failing the test, right? And Deb also said that I also knew in the dream that I had the cash for the toll booths if I needed it. In real life, I almost never carry cash because I was mugged years ago. Well, notice that anyone has the price and the capability to go left and to be taken into captivity to the beast. All they have to do is be unforgiving and disobey God's word, or give in to their idols to live in stubborn rebellion. We just got this little note here from Judy Farno. And she said, several years ago, I got a revelation in my spirit that Belinda Anderson would be moving to Tennessee, which happened a few weeks ago. Yeah. But the Lord did not give a time. I didn't get a dream or a vision. I just felt the Lord said to me that I didn't need to worry about the time, but when she was going to move, but that when she did move, then things were getting close to happen, and time was short. Well, all right, I believe that. She said the Lord didn't say what the things were, but evidently it's important things that are about to happen come to pass, because she moved just a few weeks ago here. And, you know, we keep getting wondrous revelations from God, and dreams that have little symbols in them that we thought at first didn't necessarily mean a whole lot seem to be giving us timing. And folks, things are coming together. There's about to be a wonderful revival. First, the revival is going to be those people in the faction who were deceived, who will be humbled and will repent and will come out from among them and join the harvest. That's the first part of the wonderful revival. The second part is multitudes of people that are in apostasy and in the world are going to start coming into the kingdom from the signs and the wonders that are going to be manifested through the man-child and the bride. And, wow. For this, it will be worth it, saints. The Lord is about to save many, many souls from damnation, from destruction, from the breaking off of that building, right? Etc. And Lord, we do praise you. We do thank you for answered prayers. Lord, we thank you for your mighty mercy in reaching out to the souls of our brethren who've been taken into captivity, some for several years now. And we're thanking you, Father, for you having your mercy and granting grace and opening their eyes. And Lord, you've shown us it's like Nebuchadnezzar's revelation of having been turned over to the mind of a beast to eat the grass, which is flesh, for 7 years, and then coming to the place where you opened his understanding, and he suddenly gave great praise and in great humility unto you, Father. And Lord, we thank you for doing this for our brethren now. We have cast down by faith the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness that have held them. We have cast them down in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. We know it is done, and we're thanking you for the end result. You said, call the things that be not as though they were. And so we're putting our trust in you, Lord, to do this mighty, mighty work. And also, Lord, there is a lot of people in apostate Christianity right now that don't know up from down. They don't know anything about walking in the kingdom. All they know is they had a born-again spirit, And at one time, a lot of them loved you and were seeking you, but they were sung to sleep by your apostate denominations, totally put to sleep. And Lord, we know you're about to wake them up. And we're getting dreams about it here, about a revival that's going to start here locally and spread throughout the nation. It's going to happen, saints. We've been getting this for some time. We're still getting it. There's going to be a great outpouring of God's Spirit, His love and His mercy upon His people. At the same time, as we shared with you earlier, there's going to be a great falling away of people who have been self-righteous, and they won't change their mind from their false doctrines, which give them comfort in sin, and God will permit it no longer. He will thump them off the fence. And praise God for those that stay on the right side, right? Well, Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace and for pouring forth of your Spirit upon us and granting us grace to be your servants. We ask you to come, Lord Jesus. Come in our life. Use us as vessels through whom you can move. Lord, thank you for the mercy to put down the old man and to raise up the new man who is in the image of Jesus Christ to go forth and do these wondrous works. Lord, we're just the clay. You're the potter. We have no wisdom in these things. We just wait on you, O Lord, and we know that you've told us many times of a visitation. And we know that this is the visitation in your man-child and your bride ministry that's going to shake the earth and bring in the beginning of the harvest and raise up many, many more people to go and work in the harvest, to multiply the laborers. And so, Lord, we're just thanking you for doing this, thanking you for doing exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, going beyond our wildest expectations, Lord. We thank you for doing it, Lord. We're believing you to do it, Lord. And Lord, bless us with your latter rain in your man-child leadership, Lord. We need the leadership of Jesus Christ. And we know that's exactly what you're sending. We thank you for it. We put our trust in you, Lord, to bring an end to the rebellion in your people with mercy and grace and granting repentance. We thank you for doing it, Lord. We thank you for doing it. We praise you for it. We're standing on your word, and we're accepting what you've told us. We know we're standing on your word, Lord. You've confirmed the dreams and visions that we've been having, which the factious hate so much. You've confirmed them with the word over and over and over. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you. This is a done deal. This is your revival. We're going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be amazed at what you're going to do through us. Lord, help us to stay humble. Because these greater works that are going to be manifested are not us. They're you. And you can pick anybody, and you will pick those who are humble as a child, as you said, Lord, as a little child. These are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we thank you for having these little children going everywhere. You said a little child shall lead them. Praise God, Lord. Oh, your wisdom is so great. And it doesn't leave any room for men to get puffed up. And when they do, they're just kind of pushed aside. Well, Lord, we don't want any of this ministry of your word to your people to get pushed aside because of some pride. We ask you to bless us with your humility. We ask you to grant us grace, Lord. Any that are puffed up, Lord, and doing their own thing, please humble them. Please have mercy, Lord. We need this revival. We need it now. The whole world is turning against Christianity, and we're just thanking you, Lord, for getting out of it your remnant. Praise be to God. In Jesus' name.